But so anyway, in the book of Matthew, in chapter 7, says, judge not that, and I read this quite a bit, but I'm not going the way I normally go. So judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measurement ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thy eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy own eyes. And I want to really look at this verse 6. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and ruin you. May we pray. Most righteous Heavenly Father, we want to thank you once again for this great opportunity, Lord, to be in your house again. Lord, the house of the living God. Lord, as we come, Lord, we're asking you, Lord, to give us a few words to say. Lord, that your kingdom be lifted up and your Son be glorified. Lord, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we want to give words of encouragement. Lord, we know, Lord, that sometimes we don't understand. But, Lord, we know sometimes that the tree has to be pruned, that it bear more fruit. And, Lord, sometimes at times we don't understand. But, Lord, we know that all things work to the good for those that love him. Lord, love you. I should say, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And boy, I tell you what, I like I said, that message tonight, or this morning, you know, I want to look at something before we go and judge. And you realize the wages of sin is death.
Yeah.
And you, it don't matter how one wants to candy coat it. They can change the name of it, but I want to tell you what, sin will always be sin. You know, they can go and put these names that makes it kinder and gentle, but I want to tell you what, sin is a nasty word. And you know, the day that we're living in today, people are not really feeling the sting of what sin is. You know, the world has got people blinded so bad that Lord, they don't even know what sin is. You know, the Bible says they're carnal minded, and you realize they don't know what they're doing. And you know, when I begin to look at all of the wages of sin. And you know, then I begin to look at your sins will find you out.
Yeah.
And you realize that, and we go out there and look at, and you, when the time that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when I begin to look at when their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I start thinking about how God had sent a recording angel that down to keep a record, that it be good and bad. And you know, to look at it, I've heard ever since I've been saved, and probably before I was saved. You know, one thing about it, you realize there not any dirt that's up underneath the carpet that God don't know about.
Yeah.
You realize that somewhere or some way, unrepented sin is going to come out, and you realize, and there no place to hide it. You realize, and and I thought about how it was that went out and maybe slayed another brother, not without a gun, not flesh and blood, but killed him with the words. And brother, you realize that the words are powerful, and you realize when you go out, but the word of God, it says, is sharper than a two-edged sword. And when we begin to look at it, it's more powerful than anything we know. When we begin to start to look at all the things that God, you know, I had to look at for a little bit, and I've looked at it. You realize the old Testament is the schoolmaster to the new, and here is a witness, and you know, and it's also a witness that the new is true, and you realize the new is a witness, and to the old is true. So we got to go and start to look at some things, and you know, I begin to look at one to judge and the moat. You know, so many times that one goes out and judge. You know, the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You realize, and the Bible says, if thou have one in sin, that to go and have an advocate with the Father. And you realize, and when we look at that, and I thought as Michael was preaching this morning, the Bible says that some come and they pray, but they pray in a mist. You realize it was not sincere, not going and praying and recognizing that they'd sinned before God and before heaven, and ready to really to pour their heart out and get right with God. You realize that there's so many times that one, I thought about Michael had said this morning, and when I thought about it, I said, how with the ones that come up and they begin and want to pray, and they pray, but they're really not getting anywhere. You realize it's not going up. It's just coming out and dropping down before him. And you realize what they're doing when it goes out and they pray in a mist. So what they're doing, that prayer, they're just going out and they're just wallowing in their sin. You realize they're not going out there. They're like a dog that's going back to his vomit. They're not going and not realizing that they stood and kneeled down in the holiness of God, in before a just God, the God that created the heavens and the earth, the one that breathed the breath of their life into you. And when you come and pray in a mist, you know no more than getting down and wallowing in the mire right at the feet of the living God. You're going like a dog going back to his vomit, right in the presence of God. What is saying, no shame. And I'm going to tell you what, it's time to wake up and realize you need to get a old time conviction and shame that you sinned before God and before heaven. And until you get to the place that you're insensitive about what sin is. And saying all that, there was one time, there was a man that was a king. There was a man that was the apple of God's eye. Saying all that, there was a man that God had raised up. There was a man that went out, and you realize that had conquered many things. You realize he was one that God had raised up above Saul.
Yeah.
You realize that he had set him in as king. You had set him up to lead the children of Israel and Judah. When I begin to look at that, how good that God is, you realize he did more than that. He also had taken David out, and he had given him the things that were Saul, because God had raised him up. You realize he had even looked at David and said, David, I have even given you all the wives of Saul to be yours. You realize that God had given David and blessed him because his heart was truly with God. You know, the thing is, though, the Bible says that God has raised men up, and they have fallen of their own love.
Yeah.
You realize they went out and started looking at what looked good in your own eyes. You realize they got slothful about what God's worked. They got slothful about what God would want them to do.
Amen.
And I'll begin to look at it. And when I look at that and I think of David, you realize who would ever thought a man like David, that God had called the apple of his eye, the one out there that pleased God, that had raised him up like he had David, the one that's when people would talk about David and comparing him to Saul, and said Saul kills 1,000, but David kills 10,000. That made him a mighty warrior to him. But all of a sudden, he began to start to get slothful about what God wanted him to do.
Amen.
And I want to tell you what, it's time to say, well, wake up, church, and begin to look up, look up, and you'll find and see that Jesus is still at the right hand of God. And I want to tell you what, and when you get slothful and begin to get careless about what God, you realize my Bible says that God's eyes are upon the righteous, and his face is against those that done wickedly. And I want to tell you what, God cannot lie. It's still true today, and I'm telling you, sin is still sin, and the wages of sin is death. Wake up.
Amen.
You realize when you begin to get slothful about God's work, there are things that's going to happen.
Yeah.
When you get slothful about God's work, you begin to start to look around at other things. You begin, when I look at David, I thought about, you realize, when the children of Israel looked at David, they still see a king.
Yeah.
You realize when they looked at David, they still see a mighty warrior, a king that would lead out in the battle. You realize they still see it. You realize when they looked at David, they looked and they still see a man that God had raised up. And all that thing. But you know the thing about that? The Bible says that man judges according to outward appearance.
Yeah.
But God judges the heart.
Yeah.
You realize when one thing about it, when one gets out of order, one thing about it. And when the Bible says that your sins will find you out,
yeah,
they'll find you out.
Amen.
You realize when David had no doubt, had thought time has went on, and it probably had come to the place that he had already forgot about the affair. He had already forgot about the murder. He had already forgot about the true love man of God that was a loyal servant of him. He had forgot all about it. We don't read where it come to memory until the prophet of God, until Nathan come and begin. You realize I'm made to believe according to what Nathan had said before him, and what David had said to answer, he had swept the dust up underneath the carpet where he thought that no one was saved.
Yeah.
He thought that skeleton of his loyal servant that hung in his closet would never be opened, the door would never be opened up, that any would come before him again. But I want to tell you what, there nothing happens that our God does not know. You realize that your life is an open book. You realize, I remember when they used to sing that old song, "There's no place to hide." I want to tell you what, there's no place to hide. And you realize there are no sins that won't be uncovered. Repented sin. I want to tell you what, I don't know about you. When I come and I stand before God, I want my sins that already went before me. I don't want to have them follow me in. You realize when Nathan began to go and he confronted David, David, you realize? And he said to David, he said, you know, there was a city one time, and they had two men in that city. He said, and one was rich, and he said, one was poor. He said, there was one time a traveling man that come in, and the man, the rich man, with all of his flocks and herds, he said, instead of taking one of his, that he had many that go and give to the traveling man, to one that was in need a long life journey. Instead of doing all that, he looked at him and said, he said, I'll just go out and I'll take the one of the poor man, the one that he had reared up, the one he carried in his bosom, the one that was with his family, the one that he said he even considered as a daughter. I want to tell you what, he loved him with all of his heart. Yeah. He realized, David said to him, he says, who is the one that had done this? He said, he'll restore it fourfold. He realized David was anger. That's what I'm telling you. David had swept it under the car, under the rug. I'm telling you, the skeleton was in the closet. He thought he had already just put it aside and no longer remembered it, but God hadn't forgotten. Amen. You realize time does not mean anything to God. You realize one day is the same as 1,000 years. You may have thought that dust under the dirt under the rug and that skeleton under the closet, it's been gone. It may have been 1 year. It may be 2 years. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years. It may be 25 or more. But God still has a record of it.
Amen. That's good.
You realize David said, who's that man? You realize that Nathan, the prophet of God, looked at him and he said, I have sinned. Forgive me. I have sinned before God. You realize that's what God is waiting out of each and every one.
That's right.
You know, he was wanting a sincere prayer out of David. David, now, you realize the reason I say that David had forgot it until God brought it to his remembrance. We don't read where Nathan told about his affair. We don't read where he had sent his loyal servant out to the battle to be killed. But David remembered. God revealed it. And David knew that he was going to have to stand before God. I want to tell you, the day we're living in today, there are too many out there like David. They've got slothful. You realize what had come before David? David had had an affair with a loyal servant's wife. You realize that's when God reminded David. Said, look at David. Said, look, I have given you all of Saul's wives. That little ewe lamb of your loyal servant out there. Because of who you are, you thought that you could get by with it. But just as God's word says, your sins will find you out. You realize that David immediately started trying to sweep it out of the dirt under the carpet. He thought, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He found out that she was pregnant. She was going to have a child. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll just send my loyal servant down there that he can be with his wife. But you know, he was so loyal to David and wanted to go to the battlefront, he didn't go. He went outside of David's doors. And there he stayed. Your sins will find you out. David said, well, that's not going to work. I swept it underneath the rug. And still yet the rug still was flipped up and it was revealed. He said, I've got to do something different. I'll have to send him out to battle. We'll send him right up the front, where surely he'll be slain. That way, I can take the skeleton and put it in the closet.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that that's where we're at today. You know why people are doing this? Because they don't fear God like they once feared him.
Amen.
Bible said the fear is the beginning of knowledge. You realize when David began to think all the things, David repented, I have sinned. You realize there was something happened, and it's just like when people come back to God so many times. It was a death sentence that David had done when he had taken another man's wife. God should have killed him. But God was merciful to David.
Amen.
He said, David, I'm not going to take your life. But he said, your children, your family, you're going to suffer many things. He said, David, you're going to put away the sword, and it's never going to leave your house again.
Amen.
I have problems when things like this happens. I do. When I look at David, and I see another man in the modern day church today go and do the same thing, where like God had done to David and told him to put his sword away. But instead of putting his sword away, oh, get behind that sacred desk and pollute the pulpit of the living God.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. Our God is a holy God.
Amen.
And his ways. It's time that we begin to look to it. You realize that where we're living today and people, it's time that we begin to get back on the straight and narrow that leads unto heaven. David at that time, you realize he repented. He put himself in sackcloth. But you realize he was not able to build the house of God. He was a man of blood. I'm telling you, today we're living in today. You realize why David had to put away that sword? You realize why he had to do? Why David didn't take his life? You realize the reason he didn't take his life is because he repented of it. You realize why he had to put away the sword? If you read on, you'll read because of David. He said, David, he says, you didn't have to put this sword away because of your sins. He said, David, you had to put it away because other people looking on. Well, if I don't do this and give the consequences, other people will think that this is all right.
That's right.
There are reasons why we set, and God has set an order up. The reason we've seen a great falling away in these latter days, because they've got their churches out of order, and the holiness
Amen.
Of God is not holy anymore.
Amen.
They've went in, they've polluted our pulpits, they've come in, and anything goes. I want to tell you what. The Bible says only the holy will see the face of God. You don't realize what he said, only the holy will see the face of God. You know what holy means? Only the separated people.
Amen.
I wasn't going to take it this far. But I feel there's a reason. You know what I got to look at now? And I'm going to come to close on this. I want to ask you, if your rug was lifted up today, what would Jesus find? What would he find? If I go check your closet, or I shouldn't say I should say Jesus. If he would come and check your closet, what would he find? I want to ask you, when you come and you pray, do you pray in a mist? You know, the old is a schoolmaster to the new. You know, the children of Israel, the men, would go and they'd pray in the door of their tents. And they'd pray for their children and their family. And the Bible says that they would pray. But God says, you pray for your family, but really you need to pray for yourself. You're not worthy. Mike preached on that this morning. He preached it well. He couldn't have been presented any better. You pray in that mist. You didn't get rid of that sin in your own life.
Yeah.
And then you're expecting God to do. Really, when it gets right down to it, and you pray that prayer, deep down you don't expect him to. I want to tell you what. You know what happens? When I'm all prayed up. I'm all worked up for the Lord. I'm right there in the bosom of it. I want to tell you what, when I walk through that door, there's a spring in my step.
Yeah.
I'm in the house of God. I come to praise him. I come to lift his name up above all names. You know another thing that I do? When I come in and I'm all prayed up, everybody that comes in the door, I tell you what, I don't just sit there on my seat and say, wonder if anybody will be saved today. I come in and say, surely someone will have to be saved.
Yeah.
That's praying. And that's praying with faith and faith believing. What a God. That's all the world stands.